we really feel that Christian radio is at a crossroads.
I think a great man has a strong character.
Mm. We're not hearing as much about, you know, who Christ is, but we're hearing plenty about what's going on in the culture.
Who is your idea of a real man?
Okay. Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood?
The good, the bad, the ugly.
All right.
We either are going to serve up Christ as a commodity, or we're going to transform culture. So Christian radio has to decide which route they're going to pursue.
Mark Senius and Ripley Smith are both friends and colleagues. Mark teaches electronic media communication at Northwestern College, and Ripley teaches communication at Bethel University, both in St. Paul, Minnesota. Earlier this year, they presented the findings of a study that they had conducted, taking a look at Christian music radio. Dr. Smith begins by talking a little bit about their motivations behind conducting the study.
Well, it really started when both Mark and I sensed that there was a disconnect in Christian radio between the message that was coming through in a lot of the music and the station branding, the imaging and slogans that were being developed to promote the stations. And so we wanted to find out, what were we saying between the songs? And was that exalting and lifting up the name of the Lord? Was it evangelistic? Was it gospel promoting? So that's really what birthed the study.
For a lot of years, Christian radio was a lot of preaching and teaching and some music, but it was a lot about the word. And so then there was this change that happened that, you know, we need to rely more on the music and not so much what we're saying.
Mark Senius has more than 20 years of experience in both the mainstream and Christian radio industry.
There was this switch between, you know, the old way of doing some things to this new form with a lot of music and to make the station sonically the same as other stations. And a lot of stations were doing poor radio. And I think there was a great effort and a good effort to make the stations a little bit more in tune with what's going on in the community, to serve the community a little bit more interactive. And those things are good. But in that process of trying to fit in, we shifted to just fitting in, but then there is no message of who Christ is and why we need him.
Mark and Ripley began listening to Christian music radio from around the country, and a lot of it.
We looked at 28 stations from around the country, from four regional areas of the country, and listened to about 250 hours of programming to hear what it is that they were talking about. And then we also had a second component, which we did some online interviews that were posted on hisair.net from the past couple of years, where a series of questions are asked by some of the prominent leading executives that were behind the stations. And so they offered programming tips and music and other related information. And so they had a series of questions, and, you know, what does it take to keep the music in the ministry? How do we do our jobs? You know, what's most important to you? What do you value? And so we just looked at those answers and tabulated it, and we found a correlation between the first part of the component, where there was a lack of just overt Christian prophetic voice, and this more secularized version of the answers that they were giving in these survey questions that they were given, that, you know, it's just, we got to get out there and do our job well and be better radio programmers.
Sadly, they found that their perceptions about Christian music radio were pretty accurate. Mark Senius begins.
When we looked at the question of what is the role of the on-air, it was basically, you know, be a friend, be a great communicator, be real, relatable, empathetic, compassionate. That would be sort of the fundamental ideas behind what it is that the managers of the stations want it to be. And then when you listened on air, it was relatively the same thing. You could not tell the difference between a Christian station and a secular station. They would talk about the same things of this culture, but there wasn't a biblical worldview attached to it. It was straight up, here's the culture, you know, Michael Jackson, or it happened to be, you know, what does it take to be a real man? And the answer would be Clint Eastwood on a Christian station. And that was very disturbing to us.
You know, and one of the other concerning things that came up, particularly with that, what is the role of the on-air person? There was this dichotomy between being a friend, you wanted to befriend your audience, and preaching. Somehow you couldn't be a friend and be evangelistic at the same time. So it's almost a superficial tension between true friendship and communicating about eternal significant issues like people's salvation. the stumbling block has become a stumbling block for Christian radio.
When analyzing the breaks between songs on the 28 Christian radio stations included in the study, Mark Senius and Ripley Smith found that the conversation that occurred there and the branding of the station often differed from the message of the music.
The top themes from the air checks would be family-friendly, phrases like making a difference, positive and uplifting. We saw that family-friendly was by far the number one way that the stations communicated who they were. Out of all of these different responses, just Jesus himself mentioned a mere 26 times out of 250 hours worth of programming, where you have family-friendly was mentioned nearly 200 times. So there's a huge difference between who Christ is and just mentioning God, that the idea of family-friendly and safety was, you know, easily 2-to-1 over any mention of God or who Christ is. And it's not about the numbers of Jesuses and the numbers of gods. It's not about that. It was more of just what's the heart that's here, and it seemed to be that family was being uplifted over Christ.
Now, being family-friendly or safe are indeed good things for a radio station to be able to claim. But according to Ripley Smith, it can't be the target.
We as believers are not to be considered, you know, to be safe in the world. We're not to be comfortable in the world, but we're to radically change and revolutionize the world. And that tension is missing in Christian radio.
And when you look at just how you market stations, or even using like a recent trout, where just your basic positioning, very secular way of looking at what's your place in the market, then you need to differentiate what's distinctive about your station. And for Christianity, is our distinctiveness in family? Is our distinctiveness in safety? No, our distinctiveness is in Christ and who Christ is, because that's the one thing that any other station can't bring. I mean, an AC station, there are a lot of AC stations running Delilah. It's safe. It's family friendly. It's relationships. But it's more than relationships. It's about Christ.
Mr. Mark Senius and Dr. Ripley Smith regarding their analysis of Christian music radio in the U.S. Tomorrow we'll conclude this conversation as we consider how Christians can more powerfully relate with a broader culture, whether you work for a radio station or not. I'm Paul Butler. Here's a quick sample of some of the song breaks that Mark Senius and Ripley Smith listened to as a part of their recent study. See if you can tell which ones are from a Christian station and which ones aren't.
Last year, my thing was I was going to get in shape and I was going to start exercising.
What I love is when you have kids who are, you know, only about 3 feet high and help decorate the tree, because then it looks like your tree has a black hole.
American Idol last night, I don't know if you watched, but women of season 6 made it tough on the voting public.
I don't know any guy who doesn't like a gift certificate.
Because it's money he doesn't have to spend of his own.
Yeah. So could you tell which ones were from a Christian station and which ones weren't? Well, to be fair, all of the excerpts were actually taken from Christian stations online. I realize it's just a small sample, but it's indicative of the more than 250 hours of programming that Mark Senius and Ripley Smith listened to for their study.
This study is not intended to condemn any of that work, but when we're effectively ignoring the music, not even trying to make a connection between what's going on in the music and what is happening on the radio when we speak, you know, that kind of disconnect or disjunct, or even just going in and talking specifically about maybe American Idol, and boy, I missed it last week. Well, what does that say about what we value as Christians and as followers of Christ?
Mark Senius is Associate Professor of Electronic Media Communication at Northwestern College. His co-author of the study is Dr. Ripley Smith, Professor of Communication at Bethel University.
Have we, as Jacques Ellul said way back in 1985, have we been subverted by culture, or are we, as Christians, subverting culture? Do we have the message that's turning the world upside down, or is the world commodifying us?
Yesterday, we looked at the problems, but today, we want to focus on the solutions.
One of the easy, I think, a relatively simple step that a program director can make is to ask the on-air personalities to interpret cultural events. If you're going to comment on a contemporary event or a current happening, transform that. Take that moment to transform that event and shed some gospel light on it. If you're talking about American Idol and what's going on in the current wave of American Idol, how about 10 or 15 seconds of reflecting on what are we really doing when we're lifting up these people and celebrating celebrities like that? Or maybe what happened when they tried to turn Jesus into a celebrity and he rejected and rebuked it? I think a program director can take some really positive steps in being that positive, hopeful station, but a station that offers hope is offering hope to people who are in some sort of despair. You don't offer hope to somebody who isn't drowning. So you have to give them a reason for why you're offering them hope. And right now the stations are talking about hope, but they don't give their audience a reason for why they need hope.
John Piper kind of put it in one way, you know, when we look at trying to be in the world but of the world, he says we're on this razor's edge between fruitless separatism and unprincipled expediency. Yes, we need to know our audience, and yes, we need to appeal to our audience, certainly. But what is our pursuit of who Christ is, and how well do we know our Bibles, and is our pursuit there, or is it just to appease the audience? One of the things that stations can do is to build up their own biblical literacy and to get into the Word and Bible studies and to really pursue who Christ is and to make much of who Christ is and not the audience or the station, you know, in their imaging. It's not about we're the station that brings you family-friendly stuff, but it's about who Christ is.
Both Mark Senius and Ripley Smith acknowledge that Christian radio is not the same as the church, but they maintain that we're still called to reflect Christ to those around us, even when the popular consultants of the day have different ideas.
There's one prevailing consultant that says that the radio station is the moon. The audience is the sun, and we need to reflect the sun back to the audience because then we'll be more relevant. And he got it partially right. It's like, yes, the station is the moon, but do we reflect the audience or do we reflect Christ? And even though we're not the church, I mean, the Christian radio stations are not the church, but they certainly are representative of the church, and we are called to be imitators of Christ. So how are we reflecting Christ back to our audience?
Now, obviously, most listening to this conversation today are not radio station owners, programmers, or even announcers. Rather, you're listeners. So I asked both Mark and Ripley why it's important for us all to consider this issue.
If a station is existing to proclaim the gospel, to bring the light of Christ to a darkened world, and we don't bring Christ to the table, what does that say about what we believe?
You know, I think you're also seeing this theme that we've recognized in the area of Christian radio. You're seeing it start to emerge throughout the Christian body. You had Tyler Wig Stevenson, who wrote a January 2009 article in Christianity Today. He's saying the same thing. Michael Horton is saying the same thing in Christless Christianity.
Tullian Chavision in his book Unfashionable as well.
Ron Sider in The Scandal of the Evangelical Conscience. This theme is emerging across evangelical Christianity, and it's not just taking place in Christian radio.
As we seek to encounter our culture as Christians, Mark Senius believes that one of the things we must remember is the true condition of those that we see all around us.
What kind of message are we really bringing? Is it the truth of Christ, or is it just sort of pop culture and we got to get some advertisers? And if we don't tell the message of Christ, then it's cruel. I mean, if we knew that the bridge in Minneapolis was going to collapse, or if we knew that the towers of 9/11 were going to be driven into, would we not be out in front of that telling people, look, this is going to happen? Would we not be warning people? Same with Christ. For us to withhold that, it's really cruel.
One thing that I would add is just the importance for Christian radio of re-embracing the prophetic voice. And when we think today, when we think of the prophetic voice, we think of this angry, resistant old guy who's railing against the community because they're, you know, doing things and treating people unjustly. But I think we need to realize that these were people called upon by the Lord to beckon people back to faithfulness to the Lord. So while it is disrupting, it is a dissenting voice, it is a cultural, countercultural voice, it's also a voice that calls people back to faithfulness to following the Lord. And Christian radio really holds a privileged position in society to be able to do that. We really should be that voice that's shaking people up a little bit and calling them back to following the Lord faithfully.
Dr. Ripley Smith, and Mark Senius, calling us all to Christian engagement with the world around us. For Primetime America, I'm Paul Butler.